Would you bow with me as in a moment of quietness we open our hearts and our minds to the message this morning and how God can move inside of our relationships? Let's pray. Amen. Let's talk about friendship. I was 17 years old, and I was down in the basement of our house, down in the laundry room. I was standing with my mother, and we were folding towels. And my mother said to me, "Tonight, I have a very, very special request. John and Lorraine are coming over for supper, and then they get to spend the entire evening with us. Now, you know that your father knows thousands of people, but that he has very few friends, and even fewer very close friends. John is one of his absolutely oldest, best, and dearest friends. So what I want to ask you tonight is, after supper, quickly help us clean up the kitchen, but then just let us have that time, and don't ask your dad for anything tonight." Now, at the moment, when Mom asked that, I didn't know what she was talking about, but we respected it, and they had a wonderful night together. But now, as an adult, now as I have grown, I have a very, very deep understanding of what those words were about. Friendships are not all that easy. For some of us, we seem to have friends everywhere, but the question is, how many true friends do we have? How many deep friends? And so we get to look today to explore. We begin with the definition of a friend. Now, I don't have a set definition of a friend. We get to define what these friendships are, because friendships happen in all different ways. What is a friend? Well, a friend is someone who knows and understands you. A friend is someone who does stuff with you. A friend is someone who has been with you a long time, or maybe a friend is someone who has been with you just a short time. Maybe this is a friend that is very situational. For instance, how many people in our church, their friendship exists here in the church, but not necessarily out in the community during the week? Or vice versa. We have friends in specific times, in specific places, in specific situations, and in specific activities. But no matter how you slice it, no matter how you define it, friendships are absolutely crucial in our lives to move us out of our loneliness, to move us into meaning and participation in life. This is what friendship is all about. And the book of Ecclesiastes said this: "Two are better than one. If one falls down, his friend can help pull him up. If two lie down together, they'll keep warm. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves." And then that passage ends with this sentence: "A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." Isn't it odd that this says two, 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 and then it ends with, "But a cord of three cannot be broken"? In our faith walk, we believe that this, absolutely, when we talk about the cord of three, the third is God. There's you, there's your friend, and there's God in the middle of it. And this is what makes the most powerful and the most meaningful friendships. What does this mean? What does this mean? It means that we allow God to be present in our lives, but also in our relationships, no matter what those relationships may be. And so when we hit into our friendships, it is about finding the commonalities. What is it that binds you together? Now, from here on out, I want you to be specifically thinking, what are your treasured friendships here and now? Who in this world, whether they are near or far, are your dearest friends, your most powerful relationships? All right, now think. What is it in commonalities that draws you together? How many of us became friends because our kids were in band together, or our kids were in soccer together, or we happened to live right next door to each other. We met in the hospital emergency room together. We have children the same age. We have parents the same age. It's the situation that we hold in common. And from there, we're able to find out more things that we have in common. We like the same food, or we share something in common in religion. But it's not about just the commonalities. It is also about the power of our differences. I love it. When I get to work with couples who are going into marriage counseling, it is so much fun to ask them, how did you meet? And what drew you together? And what do you share in common? But then to begin to find out, what are the differences? The commonalities are what draw us to each other, but it is those differences that add all of the flavor inside of our relationships. And that can be really, really powerful. So I want to share with you one of the friendships that I have just been stunned at watching, and I'm watching long distance, but it is the friendship between the South African Archbishop Desmond Tutu and the Tibetan Dalai Lama. These two men, now both in their 80s, have had a friendship that has gone back years and decades. What is it that holds them in common? Because their differences are enormous. Well, they are both men who are centered in faith. Now, their faith is radically different. One Episcopal as Christian and the other as Buddhist. But they hold this commonality that in their youngest years, they grew up and experienced the tyranny of injustice and have worked all of their lives through that injustice. But they hold something even more deeply in common. There is a joy inside of their lives. I love the story that I heard once of Archbishop Tutu and the Dalai Lama wound up at a conference center together. There was going to be a conference. They were two of the speakers, along with other interfaith teachers. And one of the pastors who was there came early into breakfast. And as he was at the buffet, getting ready to dish up his plate, he turned to notice that into one side of the room was Archbishop Tutu, and in the other door on the other side of the room walked the Dalai Lama. And the two walked toward each other and stopped right in front of this pastor as he was holding his plate. And, you know, what do you expect when you see two giants like this in our world's living? You know, how do they respectfully greet each other? How do they enter into that relationship on that morning? And the two of them came up to each other, hugged each other, and started tickling each other, giggling as they went. You just typically don't expect grown men to hug and giggle, much less two men of this stature. But that is the depth of their relationship. All of the things that hold them in common are far, far more important than what separates them. But what is amazing is that what separates them, what the differences that they have, are actually the things that give them energy inside of their own lives. And so the differences in their religions, the differences in their approaches, the differences in their theology, the differences in their logic only enhance the friendship, not destroy it. So when we look at the definition of friendship inside of your own life, I want you to be thinking, who are these powerful friendships that you hold? What is it that you hold in common? What is it that makes you different? And how do we move past those differences into letting that be the spice of life instead of the things that destroy us? Here's what I've noticed. When we talk about the things that destroy us, the things that are different, we have a choice. And the choice is basically this. When you are working with differences inside of your friendships, are you approaching that? Are you seeing and observing that in the other through critical eyes or through eyes of love? That is the difference. If you choose to be critical, if you choose to focus on the criticism, whether it is spoken or simply held inside, this is going to turn a friendship toxic. Have you experienced this? Can you put a name to that yet? But if we look at our differences and instead choose to look at that other person through eyes of love, not necessarily agreeing, but simply looking through the eyes of love. Huh. That's interesting. Huh. I wonder how they came to that. I wonder what the details of that. I wonder. When we ask these questions and allow the other person to simply be the other person, what you discover is that friendships change us, and your beliefs changes the other, and the other's belief changes you. But only when we look through eyes of love, which means peace, which means patience, only when we look through those eyes are we able to identify and to allow the quality of those relationships to grow. What does this mean? Well, it means communication. It's very difficult to hold relationships without communication. Now, sometimes, some friendships, because every friendship is different, some friendships require that you be in constant daily communication. While others, you may not talk to them for 10 or 20 years and then pick up right where you left off and the friendship still holds. But any way you slice it, in some way, shape, and form, it means communication. You got to have communication. And one of the things that I've also discovered in this is that absolutely, at times, what this means is reconciliation. It may be that there is a widening of communication because of disagreement. At times, in its worst, because of conflict. Because of a word that was spoken, because of an action that was made. And all of a sudden, the quality of the relationship changes. The gospel lesson today has something really powerful to say about this. And I give this to you in order to be used inside of your relationships. Now, this is specifically aimed at the church, but this is good at any point. If a friend sins against you, go, show him his fault just between the two of you. I want you to notice inside of this that it's not saying wait until the other one comes to you. That may never happen. If you would like to see reconciliation in your friendships, it may mean that you're the one who's going to have to initiate the action in this. And that can be so incredibly difficult. But in the same breath, how many times has it been so incredibly welcomed? If your friend listens to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, then take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. It's not about ganging up on the other person. That doesn't work. That's a bad idea. But if you can get someone in the room with you to help you, sometimes as a referee, sometimes as a guide, sometimes as a counselor, sometimes as a neutral party, and sometimes as someone who really has a horse in the race, who really this conversation matters. But you don't have to do this alone. You can take somebody with you. Then it says this: if your friend refuses to listen, then you can share it with the community, with the church. And if your friend refuses to listen even to the community, then treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Now, this is a really, really important and at times very difficult decision to make. There are times in our friendships and our relationships as we enter into the definition of this friendship that the most important thing that you can do is for you to go one-on-one to that person and initiate that conversation. Sometimes it is important then that you have to have somebody else to come with you. Sometimes you have to have that in the community that is church. And sometimes none of it works. Now, I want you to think about a toxic relationship. I think it's safe to say that we've all experienced toxic relationships inside of our lives. You know, these are the friendships that are one-sided, or they are abusive physically, mentally, emotionally, sexually, financially. There are all kinds of different ways that relationships can turn toxic. They may start out wonderfully, but over time, they just turn sour. There may come a time when the best, healthiest, and strongest thing that you can do is to break ties and let that no longer be a friendship in order to maintain any semblance of friendship. You're going to have to be the judge, but in prayer, this is what it means. Now, if you don't want to break a relationship, if you do want that to continue, then we have to talk about forgiveness. How many times do we carry the grudges? We carry the things that just poison us. And I love this. Somebody once said, carrying a grudge and not forgiving is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. Those grudges, those issues that we carry with us and refuse to forgive, they poison us. Forgiveness is incredibly important. I want to share with you just a little bit. This is the Book of Joy, and this is the conversation between the Dalai Lama and Desmond Tutu. It's an amazing book, and I would share with you part of the conversation that they have inside of this. Forgiveness, the Archbishop said, is the only way to heal ourselves and to be free from our past, whatever that past may be in your friendships. He said, without forgiveness, we remain tethered to the person who has harmed us. We are bound to the chains of bitterness, tied together, trapped. Until we can forgive the person who harmed us, that person will hold the keys to our happiness. That person will be our jailer. When we forgive, we take back control of our own fate and our own feelings, and we become our own liberator. And then he goes on to say this. It is so totally wrong to say that practice of tolerance and practice of forgiveness are signs of weakness. Totally wrong. 100% wrong. 1,000% wrong. Forgiveness is a sign of strength, isn't it? I want to give you the tools that you need to strengthen the friendships that you have. These amazing friendships that give us life and strength and meaning. A rope of three strands is not easily broken. So may it be this week that you take the strength that God gives to you to reach out and strengthen those friendships, old, new, near, far, however they may be, wherever they may be, to strengthen those friendships. Amen. Would you bow with me? So, Lord, I give you thanks for the friendships that we do have and pray that you would guide us, that we might take responsibility, that we might take initiative, that we might be those that help to heal and to strengthen these relationships. All of it in Christ's name we ask. Amen.